familyvaluesradio.net.
1010 KXXT.
Tolleson, Phoenix.
What does your landscaping say about you?
I'm friendly to our planet.
I xeriscape.
I'm water smart.
I harvest rainwater for my landscape and garden.
I'm a free thinker.
My landscape is filled with flowers year-round.
I'm energy conscious.
I water wisely.
Clemente Design Landscape represents your vision with an understanding of what a well-designed and cost-effective landscape can do for you. Call us for a free one-hour consultation and evaluation at 602-540-3773. That's 602-540-3773. Or visit the website ClementeDesignIsGreen.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
In today's tough economic times, it is important to make sure that you're on track with your business finances. By contacting Anderson Accounting Incorporated, you can gain insight into the financial strengths and weaknesses of your business. We will help you to define the direction of your company through a review of your processes, procedures, and personnel to make sure that you are strong enough to grow financially through these times of change. Call Cindy at Anderson Accounting Incorporated, 623-234-3596 for a free consultation.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Reaching Your Financial Goals with Bob Berger. And Krista is in studio with Bob, and we're talking about, all sorts of stuff related to financial planning. Of course, behaviors, discipline, get rid of those bad habits, and of course, resolutions. And that is what's coming up. That's what's on everyone's mind. But I think it's, I think people just sort of go through the motions, like, New Year's, I want something greater. The next day, they break the promise.
Absolutely.
I would totally agree. Because in a perfect world, you should be making goals, insert goals for the world resolution. You should be looking at what you're doing all the time, not just one or two days a year.
And measuring it, monitoring it daily. I would say even go daily on this, because if the Titanic measured and monitored what they were doing, there wouldn't be a movie called The Titanic. Leonardo, what's his name?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He wouldn't even be famous.
Absolutely.
Kate Winslet. She would not be famous.
you watch way too many movies is what I'm getting out of this segment. If you take nothing away from this segment, Dave watches way too many movies.
I love movies. Not on TV, but I love the big screen. How about you guys? Do you like going to the movies?
I like going.
Yeah, me too. How about you?
I haven't been in a while with a four-year-old at home. I don't go to the movies anymore.
Good point. So let's talk a little bit. What are the typical resolutions people usually make come New Year's Day or New Year's Day, I think.
I think most of them, as we talked earlier, are exercise and money related to in some fashion. I want to be happier. Well, happier usually means, you're in better shape and have more money. I want to provide for my family. Well, that's two of the same things. I just mentioned the four-year-old. I watch people that can't keep up with their kids. You're at the park and, that would be very sad to me if I couldn't, go play, let's say my daughter wanted to go play soccer and I can't keep up with her.
You're sitting on the bench watching, and that's not a way of life.
No. So I think most of them are that way. So from a financial standpoint, I think it's either get rid of, I think you can narrow it down to two things. Either have more money, or get rid of debt.
I bet those are very typical. And how about others? How about relationships?
Absolutely.
I think that's a big one.
I think so, too.
Or they might start early because they want a date for New Year's Eve, right?
Are you having a date for New Year's Eve?
Yes. Yes. All right. Now we're talking. I have shifts going on from
oh dear.
Five
8 to 2 in the morning.
Yeah. So from 5 to 8 and 8 to 12. And then we'll see what happens after 12.
That's awesome.
But you're right. More money. Maybe job related. You know, a different job that could produce perhaps more money. Maybe better hours. Maybe more... More freedom and flexibility. I mean, let me ask you, Bob. You work for yourself. What's the number one value about working for yourself? What do you like the best?
Yeah, that's interesting. You said that's exactly why I went and did my own thing. I left a good salary to have the freedom to spend time with my daughter. She was 1 year old at the time, and that absolutely. So that's a good point. It's not always about money versus time. But you also, there's another topic that I talk about a lot about is that time frame of that kid being 1 to 5 years old or whatever the time frame is. Because now, you know, Chris, you've got children, it's tough. You know, back in the old days, previous generation, somebody stayed at home.
Right.
Right. So now, even after, and I see a lot of parents struggling until the kid gets to kindergarten. But then what happens after that? Because I watch a lot of the people in our office that have kids. Well, what about Christmas break? What about school breaks? What about summer?
Yeah.
If you're working a full-time job, somebody has to make up for that.
And you know what it is? It's daycare.
Right.
Daycare is so phenomenally expensive.
Right.
So you're working to put your kid in daycare. So it's kind of, you know, you're in a catch-22 at that point. Do I continue to work? Do I continue to pay and work? And, you know, it's never a winning battle.
It's an interesting comment because I think everybody out there now realizes the old question used to be, do I put my kid through college? Do I pay for college or do I pay for my retirement? And I think hopefully everybody knows now you put your money into retirement first and then pay for college later because the kid can always make up the money later and you can always pay for that later. I wonder how many parents think about that when they have kids at home. If I just cut my goals a little bit, spent a little bit less, and I could spend more time at home, I can make up that money later when they're in school. And I wonder how many really go through that process to say, could I stay at home more? Because I agree with you, daycare is awfully expensive.
It is.
Would they go through that process? Because after age 5, they're in school for a certain period of time, so you certainly have a little more flexibility, and you can always make up the money, but you can't go back, because how many times we see, oh, I wish I would have. Now we're talking instead of the negatives, looking back, I wish. So the regrets take over of saying, you know, the kid's now 8 years old. I wish I would have spent more time with them when they wanted to be with me, you know, versus the teenage. Yeah.
Now they don't care.
Yeah, right. And so how many people have that regret?
Right.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think some do, except I think because the perception of people where the perception I think I'll stick with and the standard of living that they're increasing, they want things today. It creates both parents perhaps working, and it's not working necessarily for really quality of life, but for more things. And they equate more things as quality.
I know.
But more things is just more things, and it's usually temporary. It's like you get it, you use it, and then you discard it. It's like, okay, what's the next newest and greatest thing?
You know, and I think that has to go with the theory of keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to keep up with everyone, and you shouldn't have to keep up to anyone.
Well, you shouldn't. Of course, in today's economy, it's like, well, there's nothing really to keep up with.
Right.
You know, most houses are upside down. But I think that's interesting. It boils down to behavioral issues and things that people don't know very much about, which leads us into what can people do? I mean, you mentioned something off there I thought was really interesting, an accountability buddy.
Right.
So why don't you describe that? I like that. An accountability buddy, so you can, I suspect it's somewhat like a coach, but maybe a drill sergeant.
I'd say it's more of a drill sergeant more than a coach, but you know, what we were talking about off the air was what happens, because we started out the segment with, you know, people make the same resolutions over and over and over again. And, you know, Chris, like you see, probably the first couple months, of the new year. You don't go to the gym between 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock because it's just totally overwhelmed. Yeah, by March it goes away again. So what do you do if you've constantly been saying, I want to get in better shape, or we'll use the finances? What do you do? One of the things we talked about was an accountability partner. Most people know who Warren Buffett is, obviously very successful investor. He used to do a lot of things with his kids where he would write checks to them, and then if he didn't keep up his end or vice versa, they could cash them. Now that's an extreme accountability partner.
Absolutely.
But basically, the accountability partner is you sit down and you have to be accountable to them. Hey, you know, like we know that your new resolution, Dave, is to be in the gym 6 days a week, and Chris is going to be your new accountability partner. So you're going to have to, you know, sit down with her once a week, and she's going to sit there and go, you know, how many days this week did you make it to the gym?
Am I going to have to write checks?
Oh, yeah.
She just
you're
going to
be
make
held
money.
Accountable.
Oh, no. I think it's a great idea, though.
Absolutely.
Accountability partners.
It's kind of like a verbal contract.
Yeah.
You know, you have to follow through. It's, again, following through your resolution.
And it's sort of support, right? It's mm-hmm. it's like you're committing verbally, you're committing to someone else, say you will do it. And it's probably motivational, too, that you don't, the people that have high values of not breaking your promises. That would eliminate most men who cheat. 80%
absolutely.
Out there. Don't you think?
Yes, it would.
You think it's 80%?
At least.
Really?
No.
95?
Yeah.
Do I hear 105? Okay. But I think that's a great idea. And in the financial end, I think it would go a long way. It'd be very valuable. How come, like, spouses aren't accountability partners? I have a theory on that, but let me hear what you think.
Yeah, some of them would. Going back to that, I think it's if you've kept making the same resolution – and you're not getting it, you have to change something, right? That's sort of what we talked about before. You have to change something because you can't expect that you're going to keep doing the same thing and have a different result, you know, the classic definition of insanity. I think it's important for the accountability partner, whether financial or whatever. The reason spouses sometimes don't work is they're too close. Being emotionally involved is a tough one. I think you need to have somebody that's got some distance because you want to keep the emotions out. It's sort of like we talked last time about the divorce financial analyst. You certainly don't want to have somebody that's emotionally involved working on the numbers for your divorce. That's why people struggle with that as they're going through a divorce. You can't be people make bad financial decisions in emotional states. And, you know, and if you're dealing with your spouse, is it easy to sort of say, oh, honey, just don't worry about it. You want, because that's another good point, though. From the accountability, you want somebody that's going to make you accountable.
Yeah.
Having an accountability partner that's just really soft and say, you know, well, I know you've made the agreement to save an extra $400 a month, and I know you went out and had drinks or went to Vegas or whatever. It's okay. You'll make it up next month. That's not an accountability partner. That's an enabling partner.
Hey, I like that. That's a good word. And also, I think to extend it and further explore it, accountability partner, if you set up goals, so you're accountable to reach these goals, here's the steps. So if you add that element, too, not just accountable to do certain things, save money, go to the gym, but what's your ultimate goal? And that's why you're accountable. It adds a little degree of motivation. I think with spouses, you have different type of spending habits with spouses, and that can be a real big problem because it has nothing to do with the goals. They'll circumvent the goals to satisfy some dysfunction within them. How does that sound, Krista?
I agree.
Really?
I think that was really well said.
Oh, thank you. I think it makes sense, Bob.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the divorce piece, the financial, you know, other than infidelity, financial is probably the next leading reason why people get divorced.
Yeah, I think so. It creates stress, mm-hmm. financial issues, and people don't know how to cope with stress. So, again, further supports what we'll probably talk about after the break is if you don't have an accountability partner, maybe you should get a coach. However, maybe you should do both, accountability partner and maybe what I would call a neuro-linguistic programming coach. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Reaching Your Financial Goals with Bob Berger, and he is live in studio, the great, the wonderful, the amazing Bob Berger with Krista.
Krista.
Wow, okay.
What's
that was
up?
And that cookie had something in it. Okay, so anyway. Oh, I love that laugh. Do that again. Okay, maybe we can't do it on cue. Okay, want a cookie? All right, so... Bob, we were talking about accountability partners, and then we started talking about coaches. Now, I don't know if there's a difference. There could be. From my perspective, when I think of accountability partner, it's someone that really just, they're steel wall, you've got to do it, sort of the drill sergeant. An NLP coach or maybe some other type of coach would start to go underneath some of the resistance, the obstacles, and I think it would create the space, as well as the motivation and the opportunity to far exceed. It's like Star Trek, where no man has gone before.
I think it's interesting that a coach really helps you set your goals and helps you really determine what you need to do. And the accountability partner would be the person that you've already set everything, and now you just need to be held accountable. Per the term. I think that's the real difference. So a coach has to be much more educated, whether it's, NLP, you need to be educated in the process. And from a financial standpoint, you need to understand, returns and how you're going to get to your financial goals versus just being an accountability partner. I think those are two very different roles.
So what I'm going to suggest for the listeners out there is to this year make New Year's resolutions to find the accountability partner and a coach.
And even more important.
Two for one.
Absolutely.
And I think one of the big things that you need to do, anybody that's looking to make a first sit down and determine why you really, really want it. It's like being, you mentioned being on your own in business. For a lot of people, that doesn't make sense because they really don't want to do it. They sort of ran from something rather than towards something. So if you're going to make a goal and you're going to make a resolution that you're going to stick to, you have to know why you want to do it. And it has to be very important to you. Otherwise, forget it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you always have to have that visual in mind. Again, same thing with losing weight. You want to have that in front of you so that you can keep consistent with it. Otherwise, you're going to lose the whole vision of what you're trying to achieve.
And what I think from the visualization of losing weight is interesting, because if you see yourself in the mirror every day.
Right.
So it's very hard for you to really see, first of all, what you look like, number one. That's why they always say take a picture, because picture is worth 1,000 words.
Exactly.
And you can really see what you look like. And if you see yourself every day, it's like kids. They grow up half of an inch or whatever a month, And if you're the parent, you see them every day and doesn't, you know they're grown, but it's not. But then you have somebody come in and go, wow, that kid's grown up a lot. You know?
Right.
But same thing for exercise. I think that's important. And then from the financial standpoint, have somebody that can look at the picture. If you're not measuring, you know, Dave used the word measure multiple times, and that's so true. You know, whether it's exercise and you're measuring body fat or whatever the case may be. Same thing with financial. Are you moving forward or are you moving backwards? Or are you sitting still?
You know what would be interesting? Instead of buying things for your family, your friends for Christmas, what about buying like an accountability partner, a coach, educational programs, a financial planner? People that can make a long-range difference. Why do people not do that? Because people are spending sometimes some pretty good money, right? Why not get someone started on something that can completely change their life and the lives of their kids?
I think that's a great idea.
What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. The one drawback is I've seen some people try to do that, you have to make sure that the person that you're buying it for wants to do it.
It's willing, absolutely. Has to be a willing participant.
So what would be interesting, we could do a gift certificate called Change Your Life Certificate. Change Your Life.
Yeah.
Or A Happier Life. And people would open it and go, what? You know, I wanted rum. You know?
I didn't want empowerment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the empowerment gift certificate.
Where's the real gift?
Well, wouldn't that be good? I think that would really make a huge difference in the world, wouldn't it? If all of a sudden that you know a lot of the people would start really spending their money on what could make a difference. Why is that? What is going on there? Krista, you go first.
You know, I think people are just so involved and consumed with needs and wants, not what necessarily they are supposed to be doing or need. I think it's all, you know, TVs and new car.
Yeah, it is.
Everything's a
big
a
screen
want.
TVs. All
yeah.
right, I
there's
do
differences
like,
between
I do
wants
like
and needs.
Yeah, and that's where I would go. I think it's even not even the wants and needs. I think they're just hooked on the wants.
Yeah.
Most people, the needs don't even come into play. Yeah. We watch some people. It's interesting. They did an article or an interview with somebody, and they lost their job, and they were all, you know, oh, how are we going to make it? And you see the kid in the background texting away,
right.
You know, and you know, every kid yeah. still has the phone, and you know, that was the difference in the Depression, the Great Depression. People cut off everything when they lost a job. They just cut off everything, and now people lose their jobs. And well, I'm not giving up extended cable,
yeah. right? Yeah, I'm not giving up my extra cell phone,
right?
It's weird. It the standard,
the mentality.
Yeah, well, I think people are so reliant on these external things as part of their life, that they've lost sense of what life really is. Wow, that was profound, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. When we talk about NLP, you talk about identity and how yeah. many people are, their identity is the car they drive. It is the clothes they wear. It is the people they hang out with. It's whatever.
The girlfriend or the boyfriend.
Right.
What is it called? Like boy toys or girl trophy
boy
wives?
Trophy wife.
I mean, that's sort of sad because if you have to get your self-esteem from someone else, mm-hmm. you are in trouble yeah. right now.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense, does it?
No. You need to both have self-esteem. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Yeah. So have you seen that?
Oh, absolutely.
You've seen people pick their criteria is to pick a boyfriend or girlfriend based on
looks.
Looks.
You've looks or money.
Absolutely.
Looks or money. What do you think?
Right?
Absolutely.
You don't do that.
No. Do I look like I'm dating a 6-year-old sugar daddy?
I don't know. I've never seen your sugar daddy. Let me see a picture of the sugar daddy.
We'll show him later.
Yeah. Is that him driving up in the Corvette?
No.
Or is that the Ferrari?
He's the one in the wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
I'm the trophy wife.
Yeah. All right. So at least one side works. But all right. So where were we on this?
Same thing. You know, people always think they have to have money to do things. Like for exercise, you have to have money to go to a gym. Baloney. You do not need money to go to a gym.
You can go to a park.
You can go to a park. You can run the track. You can go to a high school and run stairs. If you have a two-story house,
you know,
you
that's
can run
true.
Your own
and that
stairs.
Is a great workout, mm-hmm. going on stairs.
You know, people always come up with an excuse. There's always an excuse for something as to why you're not going to succeed.
You know,
which is also interesting, how many people pay for a gym membership and never go.
Absolutely. The gym side. Memberships, yeah. The gyms are making bank.
That bank? What is bank?
They're making the money.
I know what it meant.
That's why I just go like every day, just so I am using their facility.
Your bank. Okay. Anyway, with the last couple minutes, we have a call from Phoenix. Let's go to Frank from Phoenix. Welcome to the show. Hello. Hey, Frank. Hello. How are you?
Hello, gang.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I hear you guys talking about this and that, but what about, I know that NLP has techniques to change your habits. So far we've talked about all the habits, and maybe Joe can help you or the coach can help you. But what about a person themselves? What can they do to change their habits so that they flourish and prosper? That's my question.
Well, you know, there's so many ways to do it from an NLP standpoint. What happens is most people attach meaning to certain things, and then they react to that meaning. But the thing is most things are neutral. And if you look at it from a neutral standpoint and then say, what meaning am I attaching to this particular thing, whether it's retirement, whether it's immediate gratification, you know, whether it is buying a car, everyone has a meaning attached. So what I would suggest, a simple technique, is to step back and ask, if this is neutral, if a car is neutral, what am I attaching to this meaning, and how is it impacting me in my decisions? Is it good for retirement? Is it bad for retirement? Is it going to be helpful to in my current financial situations, or is it going to be putting a burden on my? So it's really stepping away from the meaning and saying, what other things could it mean? To explore more information. That's one example, Bob.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, because retirement really is a process. And I think that's another problem that this generation has. They think it's a day, right? They think that's the day that they walk away instead of it's a process. So if you buy a $70,000 car instead of a $20,000 car, that's $50,000 and we're going to assume you pay cash. We won't even go down the
interest rate.
Yeah, the interest rate and the negative of that. But if you have that $50,000 working for you instead of against you, how much further ahead? So it goes back to what we talked about earlier. What are your priorities? Why do you really, really want? And if that $70,000 car means so much to you, what else are you willing to give up in order to get that $70,000 car?
Okay. Do you have a checklist? Do you have a form that people can take and start to say, okay, I'll follow this form? I mean, if nothing else, there could be a form that would kind of align, help people align themselves and ask themselves the questions that they should be asking.
Well, I suspect you might have some checklists, and I do too. I have a business health checklist and an NLP checklist, and Bob, you probably have a financial checklist.
Yeah, we go through the financial checklist of, you know, what do you have, you know, sort of where you are, where you want to be, and what needs to change in that whole process. That's really what a financial plan is. You know, what we started to talk about earlier is, do you need to make adjustments? And I'm going to argue that if you're on target to do what you want, no. But it's when you're not on target to do what you want is when you really have to sit back to that checklist and go, okay, what can I change?
So is this checklist available to people, or it's only when they come to your office?
It's probably more of, from my standpoint, it's more of a conversation more than a checklist. Because I do think most of the behaviors aren't as easy to write on a piece of paper. I think you really have to sit down and talk to people about why they do what they do. I don't think most people understand what they do, to be perfectly honest with you. Like we said earlier in the show, most people don't even really have a picture of what they really want. It's sometimes like pulling teeth trying to get out what your financial goals are.
I got a great idea. Frank has given us a great idea. Yeah. Maybe it's Bob and myself to do an NLP financial type of seminar to explore the behaviors that are preventing you from reaching your financial goals.
There
I love
go.
It.
There
Frank,
you
you're a genius.
There you
you
go.
Will get the first checklist autographed by myself and Bob and Krista.
I'll sign it for you.
Yeah, there we go. Well, thank you so much, Frank. We're at the end of the show, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Frank.
Bye-bye.
Wow, so you heard it here first. Maybe that's a great idea. Behavioral modification and mindset shifting when it comes to financial planning. No one's doing it. I think we could be a big hit.
I think it's so important for the people out there to do something different. And I think that's where, if you had to wrap up this show in one comment, no matter what the resolution is Just do it. Figure out why it's important to you. Figure out what needs to change if it hasn't worked for you in the past. Whether, you know, obviously this show is built on, you know, the core is financial resolutions, but yeah. any of them. You know, if you're not meeting your financial resolutions or you don't even know what your financial resolution should be, go get help, whether it's a coach, accountability partner, an advisor.
And call you.
And what is your contact information?
Call
me directly at 602-235-0336.
And what is it again? One more time?
602-235-0336.
That'll be the best call you've ever made. I mean, it's really, your future depends on it. Hey, that was good.
That should be a New Year's resolution.
Like
give him a call.
Give him a call. And thank you, Bob Berger. Thank you, Krista. I love how I say that these days. And stay tuned for Barbara Haggerty, Mind Your Own Business, all about process consulting, very important in business. And we'll be right back.
Hello, folks. This is Bob Lee with Saving Society. What if there's a way you could join our club and save up to 50% off and sometimes 60% off your prescription medicines, your airline tickets, your food bill, even your gasoline bill? Give us a call here at Saving Society, 623-242-5151. Again, 623-242-5151. We're making people wealthy. Thank you.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.